5:50 a.m., Wednesday, October 22nd, off the western coast of the Paradise of Taino, Eastern Caribbean. The equally high-risk parallels of probable success and possible failure sent twin feeds of adrenaline streaming into Mickey Crenshaw's veins as she watched her shadow gradually stretch less and less far across the gently pitching deck of the research ship and submersible tender Wangari Maathai. The sun had crept above the horizon and around the low swell of Taino's lone volcanic peak. That small tip of light was gilding the waters of the Eastern Caribbean and expanding the roseate glow that hung low in the sky. The soft hum of the engine throbbed beneath her feet, the slap of small waves against the hull and the screams of the seabirds overhead broke the early subtropical stillness. The flag identifying the ship as part of the fleet of the Paradise of Taino, her home and her target, flapped randomly in the cool, quiet air. It was a beautiful morning in paradise. A morning more beautiful than this paradise deserves. Mickey glanced over her shoulder at the ship's captain, who she knew was only pretending to be absorbed by the contents of the clipboard in his hands. He was young, handsome, ex-Royal Navy, and nobody's fool. And he'd been gently flirting with her for the last few weeks. There was little else to do on such a small island, and although the difference in their rank made it a bad idea, she'd allowed it. Actually, Mickey had encouraged it. She'd never had any qualms about using anything in her repertoire if it would help the cause. And being on Captain Simon Broadhurst's good side, and having him think he was on hers, could help.
"Captain Broadhurst, the sun is up. Can we get underway?"
she asked quietly, even though there wasn't a crew member within earshot.
"I'm English, Mickey. The proprieties must be observed," he'd said earlier, giving her that smile. She'd wanted to roll her eyes, but had stopped herself.
"In a few more minutes, I'm still reviewing your dive plan."
She turned to face him full on with a mildly amused expression on her face and one slim eyebrow cocked. Deploying her silkiest Alabama drawl, she answered him,
"I know it's unorthodox, Captain, but as we've discussed, that unorthodoxy is necessary. Vital."
"You ought to have briefed me before we left port," he replied.
Tradition and the law of the sea gave him absolute authority on his ship. However, both Mickey and the captain knew that as the second in command of Taino's security forces, she outranked him on land, and that's what she was leveraging out here in the soft pre-dawn light. And that's why the censure in his tone was more mild than it would have been had she been anyone else.
"Your dive plan flouts protocol and may thereby endanger yourself and my crew," he continued in his starchiest high street voice. "You're not to dive alone without tracking capabilities. I shouldn't allow it."
Mickey looked down and made her lips twitch as though they were concealing laughter, then looked him in the eyes as she let loose a smile that left him a bit dazzled, as intended.
"But you will allow it, Captain, despite its unorthodoxy, won't you?" she said softly. "This is a high-priority mission, and one that will be over quickly. I've tried to make it clear that we have to place this equipment this morning."
Simon let a silent moment slide by, then folded his arms across his broad uniformed chest, all the while maintaining eye contact.
"I'm not certain you understand the risks, Ms. Crenshaw. They're substantial."
"Oh, I understand them, Captain. I also understand, to a degree that you can't, that the risk faced by not executing this mission is one that will be felt by everyone connected with Taino. I thought I'd made it clear that the placement and purpose of this equipment is top secret, and that's why I have to do the dive alone and without you tracking my movements."
She let her voice fumble, stopping short of overdoing the emotion.
"The accountability for undertaking this mission is mine and mine alone, Captain, and I willingly accept that."
"Miss Crenshaw."
"Captain Broadhurst, Simon, please don't make me get all official on you," she said, interrupting him with a near whisper. "Darling, this little dive of mine is a national security issue, and your failure to assist me with it would be a grave violation of the oath you took when you became an officer of the Taino Security Force. As a senior official, I wouldn't be able to overlook something like that."
She paused and gave him a sad smile.
"You really only have two options, Simon. You can help me execute this mission, or you can refuse to help."
Her quiet words hung in the air, as did the words she didn't have to say. Under Taino's laws, if he didn't help her, she could relieve him of his command and have him secured to his quarters. Then she'd carry out the mission anyway. Clearly displeased at having his options so neatly delineated, however softly Mickey might have done it, the captain gave clipped orders to his crew, his now cool gaze never leaving Mickey's face. She acknowledged his surrender with a nod that held a convincing hint of feminine contrition. But inside, triumph reigned. Then she turned her attention to the approaching crew member who would help her into the one atmosphere diving tube. She was going down. That's all that mattered now. In one easy movement, she pulled off the wind pants she wore over her swimming suit, then slid the matching anorak over her head. She reveled for a moment in the cool breeze that brushed her bare flesh and pretended not to notice the surreptitious looks Simon and the small, all-male crew were giving her almost naked body. A few feet away, the crew was doing their final checkout on the dive tube they'd christened Flipper. It was sleek, gray, and highly maneuverable underwater. But that's where the resemblance to everyone's favorite dolphin ended. It was just another useful high-tech toy, as far as Mickey was concerned. She trained in it, as all the security personnel had trained in this and all the other high-tech dive equipment her commander-in-chief, Dennis Cavendish, kept acquiring. Despite never having actually used the tube for any purpose other than training, Mickey was confident that she could carry out her duty and be topside before anyone could learn that the entire mission was a fabrication. This dive was an extremely daring act, but it was a necessary part of the plan. It was a heady feeling to know that the years she'd put into gaining her boss's trust and into learning everything there was to know about the nation of Taino and the reality behind its clever facade would soon pay off. All the condescension she'd endured at Dennis's hands was a small price to pay to ensure that the money and energy Dennis and his minions had put into achieving his megalomaniacal dream of controlling the world's next generation energy source would be wasted. The world would be shown once again, vividly, that greed and arrogance led inevitably to incalculable damage to the Earth and all her inhabitants. "Yes, Dennis. In a few days, you will have changed the world forever. For the worse." Fully ensconced in the one-person diving tube, Mickey mentally counted the clicks and hisses as the crew secured the seals that would keep her separate from the sea and safe from its frigid pressures. As she waited for the dive master to speak to her through the headphones, she kept her eyes trained on the small black boxes she'd carefully secured to the platform at the front of the tiny vessel. When she'd approached Simon about this unscheduled trip, Mickey had told him the twin units were a pair of new, state-of-the-art surveillance devices made by a boutique firm in Switzerland. With a deprecating roll of her eyes, she'd added that they were being deployed as a favor to the company's owner, a business associate of Dennis's. The boxes were beta units, and Dennis had agreed to let Taino be their first real-world test bed, because he believed the technology held promise and would provide them with useful data if it worked as planned. Mickey had added, as offhand as ever, that even she wasn't entirely sure what the devices were meant to do. She had been told only that she was to place them in specific, secure locations without her movements being tracked. Everything she'd said was a lie, of course. The units were highly sophisticated bombs, the brainchild of Garner Blaylock, Earth activist, unsung genius, and Dennis Cavendish's worst nightmare.